You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland. This is Avaneh Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you are tuned our way. We're trusting that our broadcast service today will prove to be a real blessing to you. May 9 is Mother's Day in the United States, and we certainly pray God's blessings upon all mothers who may be listening to our broadcast service at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people. We're trusting that wherever our broadcast is being heard, the precious Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to our congregation. We pray that you'll minister to them, their burdens, their cares, their concerns, for we know that you love them. You're no respecter of persons, and you've told us to cast all of our cares upon you, for you care for us. So bless this broadcast and bless our precious congregation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains it unceasingly falls over my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away. While the years of eternity coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I am resting tonight wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Ah, soul, are you here without comfort? Marching down the rough pathway of time, make Jesus your friend. shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace, so sublime.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father.
We do thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing in the Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we trust that it is proving to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? It would be an encouragement to us. We do appreciate those who have let us know, and we would be thankful if you would take time to write us. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org.
My Savior dear, I love Thee.
Of the
On today's broadcast, I'd like to bring you some thoughts in regard to the importance of mothers. In Exodus we read, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived, and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrush, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and laid the child in the flags of the river's brink." That's Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And the word goodly child here is translated from the Hebrew, meaning a beautiful child. Now this was done because Pharaoh had ordered that all male Hebrew children be killed. He was afraid that if any enemy attacked his country, the Hebrews might side with his enemy and thus be able to free themselves from being slaves. He said to the midwives, "When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, and if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." Exodus chapter 1 and verse 16. The writer of Hebrews tells us the reason these parents did what they did was because they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And, of course, because they had faith in the true and the living God, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. This couple had already had two children. One was a girl and the other a boy. But presumably the son was born before the king had given his decree that all newborn babes or Hebrew children should be slain. Miriam, the baby's sister, was told to stay nearby and watch over this 3-month-old baby. We are not told how long this watch lasted, but we are told the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash at the river, a rather strange thing for her to do, it would seem, but some think it may have been a religious ceremony of some kind of washing. And her handmaiden or her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, the ark, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And we are not told how the princess was able to persuade her father to let the child live, but she was, and named the baby Moses, which means drawn out. The Bible does not inform us as to the name the parents had given their son. Anyway, the princess promised to pay his mother for taking care of her own son. Surely we can see the hand of God in all this. A child that was supposed to have been killed would now live with the mother until he was weaned, and she would be paid for keeping her own child. Again, we are not told how old Moses was when his mother turned him over to the princess. Some think it could have been when he was around 7 years of age. The thought I want to emphasize is this in regard to this situation, and that is this mother, and doubtless the father as well, did their best and utmost to teach this child as much about God as she possibly could. Moses is credited with writing most of all, if not all, of the first five books of the Bible. How much of this was told him by his mother? How much of this was instilled in his mother, in his heart by his mother of the Bible? We are not told. And how much of this was told him by his mother, and what he was taught must have stayed with him, for we are told by Stephen in that sermon that Stephen preached, as recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 7, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt and was mighty in words and in deeds, Acts 7 and 22. Yet, after he was taught all the learnings of Egypt, he still had that in his heart that Moses, that his mother had taught him. We read, by faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24, 25, and 26. Yes, Moses had to make the choice, as we all do, but how much did his mother have to do with the choice that he made? Moses became one of, if not the greatest leader of Old Testament Israel, and the only one in the Bible that I know of whom God spoke to face to face. Yet he was criticized, found fault with, and falsely accused by his own brother and sister, and by many others. Korah and other men accused him of thinking he was more holy than they, and that they were just as holy as he was, and so on and so forth. Again, how much did his mother have to do with the man that Moses became? There is so little in the Bible about Moses' mother, only a few words. But what an important place she filled in the life of Moses, and in doing so, the entire nation of Israel was blessed. Much the same could be said about Hannah. Hannah was one of Elkanah's two wives, and she was barren, and the other wife was able to bear children, and so the other wife doubtless taunted her and made fun of her because she was barren. And they had the practice of going to Shiloh each year. And so Elkanah and his two wives went to Shiloh, and there Elkanah's wife, Hannah, would not eat. She was so burdened. Her heart was so troubled, and she prayed unto the Lord for a son, promising the Lord if he would give her one, she would give him back to the Lord for the rest of his life. Now, the chief priest, Eli, there, thought she was drunk, and he accused her of being a daughter of Belial. But she told Eli, no, I'm not drunk. I am burdened. I desire a son. And Eli told her that God would grant her son. And he did. Likewise, just like Moses' mother, Hannah had her son with her only a few years, until she weaned him and took him to Shiloh to be with the high priest. And there he ministered in the temple, or the house of worship there, with Eli. Around about the age of 12, God spoke to Samuel. He did not recognize his voice, and so he went to Eli and said, you called me. And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. And go back and lay down. And that happened the second time, and then the third time. And Eli told him, now if you hear that voice again, you say, hear, thy servant heareth, speak. And so this child doubtless was taught greatly by his mother while he was at home. It is true that Hannah was able to visit Samuel from year to year. In fact, she took him a new coat and so forth from time to time. But Samuel became one of the greatest prophets Old Testament Israel had proved faithful until his early life ended, or until his earthly life ended. He was an obedient child and a godly child, and he grew to manhood, and the people recognized and knew that God was with him. And in his old age, he challenged Israel. When they wanted a king, he challenged Israel to prove where he had been unfaithful. And of course, they could not. And so he was the last prophet and the last judge and the first prophet of Israel. Now we read about Timothy, and we read about how his mother and his grandmother had taught him the scriptures, and he became a mighty man of God. We also read in the book of Titus, where Paul, in his letter to Titus, told that the elderly women, likewise, that they be in behavior as become of holiness, false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, we're not told how many of these elderly women were mothers, but I'm sure that many of them were. And they had the responsibility of teaching the younger women these things. It's not just the pastor's responsibility, but these elderly women had the responsibility of teaching the younger women to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Mothers fill one of the most important places in God's overall plan for the family of man. No wonder we read in Proverbs, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Proverbs chapter 31. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today, and we pray that you'll bless and help mothers to feel and to fulfill their responsibility, for their responsibility is great. So bless them today and throughout the year. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, we invite you to write us and let us know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday services are broadcast live, and you may join us 20 minutes before 11 on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock in the evening, and our speaking of Eastern time, of course, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast today. We invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide upon each and every one of you, is our prayer.
Every race shall behold his face, his loving face.